that long ago that we had a coronation. It was May last year, so less than a year, King Charles was crowned. Here's a segment of what happened. The head of the Church of Scotland presents the Bible to the king, and he says, "Sir, to keep you ever mindful of the law and the gospel of God as the rule for the whole life and government of Christian princes, receive this book, the most valuable thing that this world affords. Here is wisdom. This is the royal law. These are the lively oracles of God." The most valuable thing that this world affords. Aren't they extraordinary words? He's talking about the Bible. And that is because the Bible is the almighty, unseen God speaking to humanity. What a remarkable thing that is. The scripture that Josh read out for us, Psalm 19, is a psalm about the speaking God. And if you've got it open in front of you, and that will be one of my suggestions later on in the talk, so get ahead of the curve, you will see that it's really in two parts. The first part, verses 1 to 6, is about how God reveals himself by creation. Or we call it general revelation. Everyone can see it. And then the second part is about how God reveals himself in a specific way. In this case, by his word. He has spoken to us by his written word in verses 7 to 14. And do you know what? I can update this psalm because since this psalm has been written, something else has happened. David wrote 1,000 years before Jesus came. But we who live on the other side of Jesus can say God has spoken to us by his son. By his living word. And there is a reason the Apostle John describes Jesus as the Word of God. He is the living word, and we learn about him from God's written word. Well, let me just really briefly talk about general revelation, because our main theme is the Bible today. David writes that the heavens declare the glory of God. In other words, the creation bears testimony to the one who made it. Just like the lunchbox bears testimony to its creator. I'm a Vegemite sandwich guy, by the way. There you go. When we see creation, we ought to see an extraordinary creator God. Paul writes about this in Romans, that God has spoken by what he has made. But Paul's reflection also goes on to say that even though people should see God by what he has made, sadly, they suppress the truth. And on my annual pilgrimage to Jindabyne with a group of guys that we fish with, I can be sitting round a campsite fire at night looking up at the stars with a non-Christian friend, and we see two different things. I see a remarkable creator God. He sees peace and beauty, but he doesn't see a maker as David did. And so God, knowing the hearts of man, always had more. And so he has chosen to speak to us in a very specific kind of way by his written word. Verse 7, "The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord, the commands of the Lord." Now, what you won't entirely pick up in your English Bibles, remember this was written in Hebrew, is that the name of God changes from verses 1 to 6 to verses 7 to 14. It'll be there reflected in your Bible. The first half, it's the generic name God. The second half is the word Lord. Lord in the Hebrew is God's revealed name, Yahweh. It's God's personal name. It's the name God revealed to his people. And so we have general revelation in the name God. We have this very specific revelation, and we have the name Yahweh. This is how God speaks to his people. We know him by his word. He is a personal God. And the Bible originates from him, the law of the Lord, the statutes of the Lord. The Apostle Paul says that all scripture is God-breathed. Peter says humans wrote it down as they were carried along by God's Spirit. We have this precious, most valuable thing with us all the time, God speaking to us. God wants to know his created people, and so he reaches out. We cannot find him on our own. We are very small and very insignificant, but God has made himself known. And in his eyes, the Creator's eyes, we are deeply significant. Let's dig into it a little bit more. Verse 7, the law of the Lord is perfect. Now, the idea there in the original language is it is complete. It is sufficient. It doesn't tell us everything, but it tells us what we need to know. We don't need something in addition. How do I know God? How might I inherit eternal life? How might I be saved? How might I live God's way? It's all there. The law of the Lord is perfect. Verse 8, the precepts of the Lord are right. And the idea there in the original language is they're straight, they're true. When the Bible speaks about what humans are like, when it speaks about what God requires, we can trust it. These are the very words of God. What's the effect of the Bible? Verse 7, it revives the soul. When do you revive someone? Well, usually when they've passed out or perhaps even dying. But the Bible, the Word of God, breathes new life into lifeless souls. It can make us alive again. Verse 8, God's words give joy to the heart. Australians are pretty good at pleasure-seeking. We're a pleasure-seeking country. But the Bible's very clear. We will find our absolute joy in God alone. I've had the absolute joy of walking with God for 56 years, of being at peace with the Lord of the universe. And there is nothing like it. Knowing full forgiveness, knowing hope, knowing freedom, knowing meaning, true happiness, there's no substitute. Friends, that's the Word of God. It reveals to us the person of God and it shows us how to walk with God. The Apostle John tells us that he wrote his gospel so that we might know God, so that we might believe Jesus is the Christ, and that by believing we might have life in his name. The Bible is sufficient for that, and the Bible is effective. It will teach us how to live godly and obedient lives. 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. 2 Peter 1, God's power has given us everything we need for life and for godliness. You want to know what it means to be a Christian, to walk with God? It is there in his word. The Bible contains the words of God. The words in this book show us salvation and show us how to live godly lives as the people of God. If you like, knowing Christ and making him known, God's grace and our response. So if that's true, what are the implications for us? If the Bible is God's authority, if the Bible is sufficient, if it is God's chosen way to speak to humanity, then there's clearly two big implications. Number one, we've actually got to read it. It's pretty obvious, isn't it? The most valuable thing that this world affords. I think most of us know that. But putting that into practice day by day, that's another step. But day by day, week by week, year by year, delighting in this wonderful book will change you. It will change you and grow you in Christ-likeness. It will prepare you for eternity. I love biographies of Christians, and some of my favourite ones that I've read are of Bible translators. I think they're a special breed. They commit to going somewhere for decades and to translating a Bible, our Bible, into the language of the locals. And sometimes that means they've actually got to create a written language first. They've then got to teach people that written language and translate it into that. And they do all of this because the Bible is that important. And sometimes that puts me to shame when I realize the absolute freedom I have to read God's word and don't always take it. I've given you this stat before, but you've probably forgotten I had, and it's a really important one, so here goes. A 10-year-old survey, 100,000 Christians, they surveyed over 8 years, so it's a decent survey. And it came to one conclusion, and the conclusion is this. The difference between growing in Christlikeness and not growing, the one substantial difference was whether you read your Bible 4 times a week or more. In other words, more than every second day. That's the way to sink your roots deeper into Christ, to be nourished, to be strengthened, to stand strong. The psalmist of Psalm 1 says, "Blessed is the one who meditates on God's word day and night." So, first implication, we'll read it. Second one, we will live it. It is not an intellectual exercise. It is a practical, all-of-life exercise. With God's help, we'll put it into practice. Sometimes that might be obeying a simple command, but most of the time, it will be letting our character and our values be shaped by God's word. Bible reading is never purely theoretical. The Apostle James writes, "Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says." It's that simple. And it's that good that Nike pinched it. I want to give you some encouragement, some ideas. Because most of you already know how important reading the Bible is. But putting that practice into, putting that knowledge into practice takes daily discipline. Don't simply think of your own private devotion. There's a whole bunch of ways that we can read the Bible. Some people do a lot better reading the Bible with someone else. Great. But think of your own daily devotions, private devotions, whatever you want to call them. But also think of growth groups. That weekly opportunity or fortnightly opportunity to come together and to discuss the Bible. Think of Sunday church. We always have a couple of readings and we have a 20-25 minute talk, which is focused on the Bible. I'll think about ways we can do that better in a second. I think the first and best thing we can do is pray. Pray that God will give us new desire and a delight to know him by opening his word. Be thoughtful. When are you going to do this? How are you going to do this? Will this happen? Generally, it doesn't just fall into your lap. Life is full. Remind yourself that reading the Bible, just like praying, falls, and just like living the Christian life, falls into that category of spiritual warfare. We have an enemy who does not want us to read God's word. And he will distract us. Or he will say to you, "Ah, that little bit of Bible reading, that really doesn't count. There's not much point doing it." We read widely. It's good to sit down every now and then and just read a chunk of chapters or a whole book. We have another epic Bible reading Sunday coming up in about the end of term one, where we will sit down and read 12 chapters together. Read widely, but also read deeply. It's good sometimes just to focus on a verse or two and really reflect and pray over those verses. Read to see God's goodness and his kindness and his faithfulness. All right, we're not reading the Bible for the Bible's sake. We're reading to get to know God better. Read to see Jesus, God's living word. Read to see what it means to live God's way in the light of his grace. When you read the Bible, and this is a little trickier if you're walking and listening on audio or you're on an app or something, but when you read the Bible, I find a notebook is really helpful. It just starts to bring together different themes and ideas and verses. And if you're really courageous, bring a highlighter with you and highlight your Bible. That's another great way to remember key things or key lessons. I had an 11-year-old come up to me after church last Sunday and say, "Matt, where can I get a wide margin Bible from? I want to start making notes." And I said, "You've got it." I wish I'd learned that lesson when I was 11. He wants to make notes in his Bible as he reads. And sadly, there's not enough wide margin Bibles around. All of these are good things. There's a joy when you start connecting parts of the Bible and remembering verses. And that's made easier as you make notes. All of that said, we have different seasons of life. Sometimes we have time, sometimes we have no time, sometimes exhaustion or elation, sometimes disappointment and grief, sometimes happiness and thankfulness. We need to be flexible. We need to change our approach in different seasons. I suspect school teachers have had a little bit more time the last couple of weeks, maybe, but they're going to certainly have less time coming up. What does reading the Bible start to look like? Is it half an hour to sit down and open your Bible? Is it listening on your app during a commute? Is it a chapter or a sentence? Friends, it's all spiritual nourishment, and that's wonderful. But if there has been season after season of a lack of coming to the Lord and opening His Word, make today a brand new season for you. Form a habit. Find a resource. Share your desire with a praying friend who can both be praying for you and keep you accountable, and bring your hopes to the Lord. There are tons of apps, resources, Bible reading plans. Let me just turn around. In the foyer today, I've put out some free resources. Please take one if you need a kickstart. 60 days. Most of what's in here is the text of the Bible. So the full text is in here with a few little prayer points, questions, suggestions, ideas. If you need a kickstart, please take one of these. Take a couple, that's fine. And we just want you to take them. The different parts of the Bible they're going through are written there. So have a look at them on your way out. Annual daily devotion books I think are excellent. That's what I generally use. So one here, this one isn't quite annual, 150 daily devotions through the Bible. This one is a year of daily devotions from the Psalms. One of my favourite authors, Alistair Begg, good Scotsman, 365 daily devotions. These don't have the Bible passage written in. You need to have your Bible, open it, read the Bible first, and if that's all you read, that's most important. And then they've got a few notes and ideas in them. And so I will cycle through one book for the year and then a different book the next year, and so on. They're all good. Or simply grab a commentary and open that while you open your Bible. That will help you be a little more thoughtful about it. But most importantly, just open the Bible and read it. If there's nothing else with it, that's good. Currently, I'm working through the Psalms, and what I will do is I will read the psalm, I'll read someone else's translation of it, an Old Testament academic expert, just to see what he says with a couple of the words. I'm then reading through Spurgeon's Treasury of David on the Psalms. It's not easy, I'm going to say, but I'm sticking with it, and it's very satisfying. But friends, have this conversation after church. Find out what others do. We can learn so much from each other. That's private devotions. Growth groups, please make sure you go up the back at the end. I think growth groups are terrific. And again, it's that other opportunity to come together during the week, study God's word together, support and encourage one another in prayer, think about how you are living the Christian life together, how you're reaching out. They're terrific. What about Sundays? We're all here. How do we make the most of Sundays? Well, 25 minutes or so of teaching. Can I say, before you come to church on a Sunday, prepare your own heart by praying. Pray that God will ready you to both have good fellowship with one another and to hear God speak. Make sure you read the Bible passage before you come. It's always in the e-news. And that's a good ad for the e-news. If you've joined recently, we send out a weekly e-bulletin. And if you're not getting that yet, come and see me and I can sort you out. Listen to the sermon with an open Bible. I love the eye contact. It's wonderful. But if I'm not getting eye contact, I'm assuming you have a Bible in front of you, and even better, making notes. I was taught by my minister at about age 13, make notes. And I've actually done it ever since. And it's an incredible blessing. Even if you don't come back to those notes, I actually learn more as just by writing them. These days I make notes to give feedback to the other preachers, but they still work in the same way by blessing me. And review. One of the good things about our small groups, growth groups, is that it's actually a good opportunity to review the previous sermon. We try and do that in our growth group just to start. Just have a think, what did you learn from that time? Brothers and sisters, if we believe the Bible is God's special self-revelation to humanity for all of time, if we believe it's the standard for Christian life and practice, if we believe we get to know God that way, then be someone who consistently feeds on the Word of God. Perhaps this year can be the year you become a habitual Bible reader. Psalm 1, the one who meditates on his Word is like a tree planted by streams of water. They yield their fruit in season, and their leaf does not wither. Let me pray. Gracious Father, we love your word. Help us to meditate on it and to live it. May your commands always be with us. May we delight in the sweetness of them. Thank you that by your words we can know you. We can see our Lord and Saviour Jesus, and you teach us to live your way. Amen. Friends, we're going to continue in prayer now, and I'm going to invite Jeff to come and lead us in further prayer.